Bless his heart.
Help Barnabas Brown.
Down there for a noble purpose. Save those that were lost underdog.
God bless your heart. Elder Barnabas Brown.
God bless his heart.
Yeah, you're good. Got you trained pretty good. Got you trained
pretty
good.
Well, I do know about that. That's not right.
Yeah, you do know about that. As you've heard many times today, and I would echo the sentiment, it is good to be assembled in the house of the Lord. It's not a duty. It's a privilege.
It is.
It's a blessing. It's something that I beg God that He would cause that we might always be able to come together in His great name. You've also heard that if we came in any other name, it wouldn't be any benefit or any value. Not in those exact words, but that's the truth of it. We don't come in our own strength. We have nothing to bring.
Not a thing.
Nothing to bring.
To His cross.
I want to start for a few minutes talking about an individual that's well known, one that's highly praised, and one that is exalted to a position that she should never be. One that was exalted is and has been way past anything she is due. Not that I would make light of her station in life, but rather that the one that she bore, when one said, "Blessed be the womb that bare you and the paps thou hast sucked,"
right,
he said, "But rather, blessed be those that hear the word of the Lord and keep it."
Amen. Amen.
Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now that's all well and good. This is the angel of God coming to one that knew not a man.
Right.
And asked, how could these things be? The power of the Holy Ghost shall come upon you.
Amen.
This same woman, by the way, Mary, says in verse 46, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." We're told in the Psalms, holy and reverend is his name.
Amen.
Here we're told, by the one that brought him forth natural into the world, holy is his name.
Amen.
We're told that he is to be blessed.
Amen.
She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord.
Amen.
She knew she needed a redeemer. She knew that she had brought forth one that was a redeemer. If you remember when he went into the temple, I believe it was Simeon that told everybody in attendance there that this man would be a light to the Gentiles. Such was unheard of in that day. Oh, this is going to be the Savior of the Jewish nation. No, no. Light to lighten the Gentiles. Brethren, I want you to know I am thankful for old Brother Simeon. I'm thankful that he went there. But he also said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the Lord's salvation. He had been promised that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's salvation. Brethren, I want you to know that my God works and none can hinder.
That's right.
And he hinders and none can work.
Amen.
There is no man or group of men that has ever been able to withstand against my God. They're running rampant in the world today and they think they're in control. But I read my Bible and it said he'll have them in derision. Now that doesn't sound like a good place to be, especially when God puts you there.
Yes, exactly.
Sometime we might think we're in derision, but if God puts you there, it's different from anything that you are accustomed to, and I can guarantee you that. Okay. Mary is blessed. She's highly favored. But I want you to know today that you stand in the same circumstance.
Yes. Amen.
I want you to know that we are highly favored.
Amen.
I want you to know that we are blessed.
Amen.
Because in Colossians 1 verse 27, it said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Christ is in us, the hope of glory. I don't have a lot of patience. I don't have near as much as I should. I understand that. But I don't have a lot of patience for people, old Baptists especially, that think and believe that they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God and still can go about, woe is me, I'm useless. I'm nothing. Brethren, in the flesh you are.
Amen.
But in the spirit you are children of the heavenly King and heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
That's true.
I find it abominable to go about and saying, I just ain't worth nothing. You're worth the blood of the Son of God. Think about it. You're worth the very blood of the Lamb of God. When we sing that song, at least we used to, Lamb of God, we fall before thee, ever trusting in thy name. Lamb of God, we fall before thee. Brethren, I want you to know that all will fall before the Lamb of God. Some on this side, the rest on the other side, but they're gonna fall before the Lamb of God. But He is in us the hope of glory. And how did you get there? You've heard about it all morning, probably yesterday too, from what I hear. When the Spirit of my God comes, and it comes with power, and it comes on time, every time.
Absolutely.
It's never early, and it's never late, and it's never missed an appointment, if you want to call it that. It has never missed anything. It comes on time, and it calls one out of nature's darkness to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. It picks them up out of the miry clay, and sets their feet upon a rock, and establishes their going, and puts a new song in their mouth. I want to tell you, Brother Bill's got a new song in his mouth.
Amen.
I got a new song in my mouth.
Amen.
I want to tell you, I love what I used to hate, and I hate what I used to love. I've tried all that work stuff, and it didn't get me anywhere. You know, the faster I went, the behinder I got. I tried all them balances, and I'm just like the old king. You weighed in the balances and you found wanting. Everything we got, the very best we got, is filthy rags.
Amen.
And yet men, in the main, say, I helped God. I didn't help God do anything.
I need His help.
I didn't help Him create the universe. What did He ask Job? Where was you?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Absolutely.
When I created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, stars, where were you? Where were you? Job said, behold, I am vile. I submit to you today that we are all vile. Amen. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But at such times as He calls us out of nature's darkness into the marvelous light of His Son, Jesus Christ, we are highly favored. We're taken out of that dunghill, if you will, and then made to sleep in heavenly places to praise His holy name, like the brother Reggie from Psalm 146. Praise His holy name. Psalm 103 tells us to praise Him for all His benefits. Yes. You know, people go out looking for a job. They always want one with the most benefits. Brethren, I want to tell you, we was called out of nature's darkness to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, and we were given all the benefits. Amen. We've got redemption, salvation, Amen. Forgiveness, sanctification. We've got that hope of heaven and immortal glory, which shall never end. Coming down the road this morning, I cried out to my God, and something to this effect, no matter how long I live, it's just like a puff of air. Oh, but in yonder's world, oh, a different story. The old hymn writer said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Oh, praise His great and holy name, a world that shall never end. No sickness, no partings, no sorrow. And no, I'm not going to get into what you're going to do when you get there, and I don't think you should either. I'll tell you flat out what you're going to do. You're going to be praising the I am that I am. You're going to praise Him with a more perfect voice. I beg Him most every day for a mind and a voice and a heart to praise Him in a more perfect way, but it will not be perfect till it's on the other side. When John and Paul were caught up into the third heaven, he said he saw things it was unlawful to utter, Paul did. Why did he say that? I think he said it because the tongue of man cannot explain what heaven and immortal glory is all about. I don't think you could go there and come back and tell me all about it. I think you would be in the most joy that you've ever been in your entire life and past it. But I don't think you'd be able to tell me to explain it in its fullness. One must go there. One must see God in all His Shekinah glory. One must say, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. But praise be to His holy name. He loved me with an everlasting love. And He was born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, He was born. He wasn't born to be a king. He wasn't born to be a savior. He wasn't born to be a redeemer. He was already all of that when He came.
Glory to God in the
heavens. The old king put to death all the male children under 2 years of age. Because he's worried about a king. That's one of the most foolish things that I've ever heard, naturally speaking. But spiritually speaking, it talks and fulfills the scripture. In Ramah shall be heard voice weeping, crying for the children they are not. It fulfilled that promise. Naturally speaking, kings didn't live that long back in that day. This is a child. You'll be dead and gone before he gets old enough to be a king. And spiritually speaking, he's already a king and ain't nothing you can do.
That's right.
Oh, you can try all you want. Oh, yeah, you put him to death. They put my master to death. He had him in derision. What happened? 3 days later, here he is again. Here he is. You know, Brother Bill said, go tell John again these things. How about those people that stood at the cross of my master and cried, crucify and crucify.
Right.
Railed on him.
Right.
said to him, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. If thou be the Son of God. Mockery of the highest level. What must they have thought when they saw him walk back into town? I get a kick out of that. It just does my heart good. It really does. And I don't mean no harm, but I get a little grin every once in a while when I think about the hijackers that flew the planes into the World Tower. I get a little grin on my face when I think about what they expected to happen and what really happened. Where they thought they were going. You know, if it's possible, they could say, oops, missed out this one. That being said, God's got the power. He could have changed them before it hit the building if he wanted to. That's just the way my God works. Is Christ in you the hope of glory? And if that's not good enough, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, for ye bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're told that he's in us the hope of glory. We're told that the Holy Ghost is in here, that we are the temple of God. Therefore, I can say again that we are something. We are children of the heavenly King if we stand here being what we hope to be and what we claim to be. We're children of the heavenly King. The song, children of the heavenly King, as ye journey, sweetly sing. Again, in the flesh, we're nothing. Less than nothing. I was reading this morning about the one that pretty much coined the phrase, it's better to wear out than to rust out. He also said that his life was nothing but a puff of air. It didn't matter. We're told that our life is like a watch in the night. But yet, while that is happening, if so be that the God of glory has had mercy on us, that we're His and we're bought with the blood of the Lamb of God. We can sing that song, oh, how happy are they who their Savior obey. You've heard a lot about obeying today. Brethren, I don't mean no harm, but there's not a one of you sitting under the sound of my voice that can obey for 10 seconds without being upheld by the Spirit of God. We can't obey. Y'all sing that song every once in a while. It gets kind of tedious. You know, trust and obey, there is no other way. It gets a little tedious. It's just me. You might. It's great.
Doesn't it mean?
Huh?
I like it.
It is. It's a good song. It just gets tedious after a while. Trust and obey. There's no other way. You can't do either one of them without the Spirit of God.
Absolutely.
Holding you up. I've got no strength and you've got no strength. You know, it's just like trying to keep the sparks from flying upward. Or the leopard changing the spots. It can't be done. Oh, but when we indwelt by that Spirit of a covenant-keeping God, oh, we can walk on a King's highway, not look to the right nor to the left. We're marching to Emmanuel's land. Brighter worlds on high. This old world is losing its luster. This old world is losing its luster. It used to have a great hold. Oh, but how that has decreased as time goes on. When you see the wickedness and the evil that's in the world, you heard about that this morning. coming down the road, and I'm thinking we live in a land that's been highly favored and blessed of God. And yet, look at what's going on in this country. Please, whatever you do, do not depend on God to protect this nation unless there's a change. You say, well, God has always blessed us. We didn't always have gay marriage. We didn't always have unfettered abortion. We didn't always say there's no room for God in the nation. We did not always say that Jesus Christ cannot be mentioned in a public place. We're not the same nation that God started out blessing years and years and years ago. We may turn. We're told if my people who are called by my name repent and cry out to me, I will heal your land. Brethren, our land needs healed. Our churches need healed. But God is the only one that has that power. Every once in a while you hear the churches looking for a new pastor. We're going to get a new pastor. We want somebody to come down, straighten the place up, and liven it up. You can get all you want. If God's not in the matter, if the Spirit's not moving, nothing will happen. Nothing good will happen. But you can take an old man with no education. If God's in the matter, all is well.
Amen.
I remember 30, 40 years ago, down the hills where I was born, association was coming up, and on a rotational basis, that was an old man that couldn't read and couldn't write, and the brethren was slammed, scared to death. How's he going to moderate association? He didn't have any trouble at all. It went out without a hitch, because God was in the matter. The old brother loved the Lord, and that's all it takes. You don't have to be eloquent. You heard a little bit about that this morning. Education's fine. Not necessary, but fine. How much education did the fishermen have that went preaching Jesus and Him crucified? They took notice that they was ignorant and unlearned. Oh, but they took notice they'd been with Jesus. I hope and I pray that as the world and those that we come in contact see us, that they might be able to take notice that we'd been with Jesus.
Amen. And I thank you. Bless your
heart. It tells me of the Savior's love who died to set me free.
Of His precious blood, the